Jason Wilde. I am Homer. I'm 70 years old. Never in my life can I remember a famous person being married for 4 months and no one knows what the spouse looks like. Aaron Rodgers has pulled it off again. How? Got me. I don't believe, unless someone can come up with a other story, of anyone ever married for that long, famous, and no one had a single picture of the spouse. Good evening, Jason.
Hello, Steve.
Have you seen a picture of his spouse?
No.
I knew you wouldn't be as amazed as I am with that, but I stand by it. So he was married when he had the wedding ring on the Kentucky Derby. We know that. All right. We'll get to the Packers.
Yes.
Jair Alexander and everything else.
Did that go the way you were expecting it to, that conversation?
Pretty much, yes. I thought there was a chance that maybe you had seen a picture. But even if you had, I assumed you'd say no, because then that goes to even more questions. So there's Jair, but there's a lot more going on with the procedure, the Packers. And so everybody's talking. So take it away. What's at the top of your list on what you observed, learned, et cetera?
Well, there's a few things. I mean, first of all, the Jair Alexander stuff is something, because I have less idea than ever before what the heck we were waiting for here.
I was going to be my follow-up. What do you think?
Yeah,
hoping that Jair would take less?
No, because okay. So here was the crux of the entire thing, and when I say this, I probably need to move this quote up in my Channel 3000 story, because I said, hey, you know, do you feel like the offer you made to Jair was fair and you gave him, you know, the opportunity to make back whatever pay cut he would have taken by staying healthy? And he said, I'm not going to talk about the contract stuff, whether we did or didn't offer anything. I think there were conversations, but that wasn't something they wanted to do. So at the end of the day, we kind of really had to look and see if that was what we really wanted to do as well. So basically, based on that answer, Jair was never taking a pay cut. Never. He was not going to restructure his contract, at least as the general manager retells it.
Well, which just means they were mean to him.
Well, then, but my point is that if he was never willing to do that, then there's nothing to talk about, because he wasn't willing to do it for the Packers. And I think it was Tom Silverstein who reported this first, and I think it was Jordan Schultz who reported that the team was the Bills. But Tom Silverstein reported that they had a trade and that Alexander wouldn't restructure his contract to make the trade happen. And so if he wasn't going to restructure it for the Packers and he wasn't going to restructure it for another team so he could be traded to them, this just in, he was never restructuring his contract. And by restructure, I mean accepting a pay cut,
right,
and then
because,
being willing to
right, because he to, wanted to control where he's going. And that's
right.
This is the only way to do
it. What? Is this just vindictiveness that they held on to him? Is it unrealistic hope? Like, was it at some point they thought, well, maybe he'll soften his position? Like, because people could say, I'm never going to do that, and then they end up doing it. So I think that's, you know, I don't think that that's out of the realm of possibility.
Well, was there a need to rush? And he still has a ton of time, right? Or am I wrong with one of those comments?
What do you, I don't understand.
Well, he still has a ton of time to find a team. And
oh, yeah, he's got plenty of time for that.
Right,
like,
and
no,
so
I
what
mean,
what was the rush?
For the Packers, they're nothing.
Okay.
I mean, but he would have, you know, if you're him, there's still time to find a team, but you would rather be available, the sooner the better to be available, right?
Yes.
Because then you can, you might have more offers. Like, so for him, that's what I mean. Like, I don't think it's vindictiveness per se, but the fact of the matter is that that this was a stalemate that clearly was never going to change. I just don't see them as ever reaching an accord, and it took till, you know, June 9th for them, for everyone involved to say, yeah, this ain't happening. And to me, that's just wild because, you know, the way Goody answered those questions, he left very little room for misinterpretation. Like, he feels really good about the three guys that are going to be at the top of his depth chart, whether we agree with him or not, that he was never going to keep him on his current salary and just hope that he stayed healthy, quoting him again, for what that amount of money is, I think that's a lot to pay for a guy who hasn't been able to get on the field. I mean, this was, I mean, just rip the Band-Aid off. So again, and look, the other part of this is, you know, they have $46 million in cap space. Now it's going to be less because, as we've subsequently learned, they talk to the league and they're going to take the entire hit. They're basically going to make this as if they cut him before June 1st. You know, a lot of other teams are trying to push post June 1 cuts. Hey, we want to designate this cut like Aaron Rodgers was for the Jets, a post June 1 cut. So we get charged some of it this year and some of it next year. The Packers have so much cap space. They're like, hey, we cut him after June 1st, but we want you to go back in time and treat us like we cut him before June 1st. And we can count all of the dead cap money into this year's cap. Like, that doesn't happen. So they also don't, they clearly don't intend to spend money on anyone that they need that cap space for, like acquiring Trey Hendrickson or TJ Watt, or like, that's not surprising by any means, but it's still significant. So basically they're marshaling all their cap resources to, if they decide that one or two of these abundance of players that are in the final years of their contracts this year play at a level that they want to extend them, that then they'll do that. But, you know, they didn't need it. They don't need the cap space. They're going to burn the cap space this year with the dead money from him. They like the guys that they're going to have as their top three corners. You just set the guy free. Like, and the other part, because I asked Goody, you know, by not being able to trade him, you obviously can't control where he goes. And again, his answer wasn't, at least to me, when you release good players, which we've done around here a lot, or when their contracts run out, that's a possibility. Again, I think that you're more concerned about your own football team and how that affects us. If we take care of us, I'm not concerned about those kinds of things. So he doesn't care where Jair goes. He wants to go to Minnesota? Great. He wants to go to Detroit? Great. He doesn't care. So if all this is how he truly feels, I just don't know why this took 5 months to arrive at this decision.
Is it fair to say, given your experience in the league, that in all situations, or almost all like this, the player was released a long time ago?
Yes. Yes. Because it had a... Here's the thing. If his argument was, and look, I am not criticizing Goody for this. Like, I think moving on from him is the right decision. And you don't owe him anything. I want to believe that it's not just pettiness that said, this guy took a bunch of money from us, never played, didn't play through injury. We're not going to set him free until we absolutely have to. I would like to believe that they would never do that. But this is the right decision. I don't have any problem with the decision. But, you know, the idea that it doesn't matter where he goes, okay, be careful what you wish for, because, you know, if he goes to a team that you're competing with in the NFC and he does stay healthy, there's one thing everybody agrees on. If the guy's healthy and if the guy's on the field, which are two enormous ifs, based on the way the last 4 years have played out. But if those two things are true, he's a damn good football player still. He's a problem. And not the kind of problem that goes out and appoints himself coin toss captain.
I would have gambled with him if he would have taken some less money. He wouldn't have had to take – it would have been – what was he going to get, 16?
16.
Yeah, I'd have given him 12. But
yeah, I wonder if he would have been okay with that. But I think, you know, again, you know,
but
Rob
this is
DeMoss
how Goody works. This is how he.
Yeah.
This is done exactly. He's been incredibly consistent as a general manager. He's not going to gamble. He's not going to gamble on the potential of greatness
because
he does not believe greatness is necessary to win a title. A good team is necessary.
He would rather gamble on a guy who is unproven taking a big jump than gamble on a guy who has had injuries or behavioral issues or whatever it might be. A veteran guy, he is in no way interested in gambling on that guy, either staying healthy when he hasn't been able to, or being productive when he hasn't been able to, or not being a problem in the locker room when he hasn't been able to.
I had to look this up because maybe you'd remember. I didn't, because Terrell Buckley's going to be on a little bit, because I thought he'd be the perfect person to talk to because the Packers bailed on him. But much sooner, on April the 3rd, 1995, the Packers traded him to the Miami Dolphins for past considerations. And I would say the situation was similar. Ron Wolf said, I need a bigger cornerback, Craig Newsom. And even though Buckley had been the fifth pick in the draft, he was, I got to move on. And Buckley did what did afterwards. But that was April. Yeah. This could have been done conceivably in April as well, right? Situation was similar.
All right. First of all, in fairness to your friend Terrell Buckley,
yes,
there's no doubt that he went on to a much better career than it appeared he was going to have in his 3 years in Green Bay.
Agreed.
Secondly, that doesn't change the fact that Wolf should have taken Troy Vincent instead of him.
That is also correct. Yes,
but that past considerations thing used to be a thing that Ron used all the time. It was either for future considerations or past considerations. But what it really was circumventing the waiver wire and either acquiring guys from buddies in his league or sending guys to buddies in his league to avoid, to get them the player that they're interested in without having to go through the waiver system.
They can't do that anymore, I'm assuming.
And they can't do. They've closed that loophole. But you know, he basically gave them to. I don't know. Would have been Don Shula.
I believe so. Yes.
Still Don Shula, right?
Yeah.
So, Jair Alexander obviously had more success in his 7 years in Green Bay than Terrell Buckley had in his three. But here's one thing they both have in common. They were each respective general manager's first picks, right? Wasn't Terrell Buckley?
Yes, he was.
Ron Wolf's first selection.
Yep.
So,
yep.
You know, as much as Ron would have said and would still say, that was what reminded me I'm not going to draft small corners anymore. He still probably had a special place in Ron's heart. I mean, Ron thought he was going to be like Deion Sanders. I mean, Ron loved him coming out.
Yeah,
like,
would have an impact
on the
locker room.
There's no history there.
And that's
all those things.
And he was just wrong. Terrell Buckley is not that person and was never Deion Sanders. And I would be curious to ask Ron Wolf how he came to that conclusion if they had done research aside from him as a player. But I don't know.
Yeah. So, but I would say that when it's the first guy you pick, I mean, obviously Ted Thompson felt that with Aaron. So there is something to that, and I'm sure that's part of, you know, I haven't talked to Ron in a while. I talked to Bob Harlan last week, which was just a joy. I just love talking to him. But I try to, you know, you're one of the old people in my life that I talk to regularly because of the show.
Thank you.
But I try to check in with older folks. And I haven't talked to Ron in way too long. I need to call him. And I would be curious to ask him, you know, what he thinks of what Terrell Buckley was able to do with the remainder of his career. Because I would say that as a personnel evaluator, he would look and go, I should have been more patient because that guy who I thought was a damn good football player when I drafted him turned out to have a damn good football career. So maybe I wasn't so wrong.
Yeah, the move by Goody is understandable. You can agree or disagree, but the range is, it's just another example that he doesn't gamble on greatness. Because even if you got him for five, how many games? How many great games could Jair Alexander have played this season? Maybe it's five. I guarantee you, he would have played more great games than any cornerback they're going to have on this team. Not good games, not position, great games. You want to join that club?
Sure. Like there's no doubt that he had greatness within him. But this is the discussion we had for literally months on end.
Yep.
Of what are you willing to pay for a partial season? And they clearly were unwilling to pay his scheduled salary, knowing that the odds were that he wasn't going to play in all those games.
Yep.
But by the same token, you know, all it takes, and I used to say this about Jimmy Graham, because Jimmy Graham was a terrible signing. Goody totally botched that.
But,
like, he'd have been better off keeping, but he'd have been better off keeping Jordy Nelson for a year.
That's right.
But they don't beat Seattle,
yep,
in the playoffs without Jimmy Graham.
Yep.
Like, he wins that, what was that, 16, I think?
I don't remember.
They don't win that game without him. And so, yeah, was he a waste of money for much of the season? Sure. But in the end, when the chips were on the table, you won a game that sent you. I mean, that was the year they went to the NFC Championship game when they had no business doing so. Mm-hmm. So,
and
there's
but I would
some
say
value
this. The last
it.
Thing I wanted to ask you is that I think it was, in almost all cases, going to be fundamentally unfair and inaccurate to turn this season into, well, the difference was what they did with Jair Alexander. I think the possibility that it's going to be that big an issue is possible, but in almost all likelihood, I would say not. They're either going to be that much better because they're young players, some of them got better, or they're just don't have enough greatness. And
yeah,
I guess he'll
they're relying. The bottom line is they are relying on a large group of guys that have followed the Homer rule that you judge when they young guys that you judge when they play well, not when they play poorly. And now they got a bunch of guys at the point where we can't judge them that way anymore.
Yep.
They have to play very well for the vast, vast majority of the season. And if they don't, they're not getting anywhere. That's the reality.
Thanks, Jason. If you do see a picture of Aaron Rodgers' spouse, let me know.
You'll be the first one I text.
Thanks.
All right, Homer, take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde. Terrell Buckley isn't next, but very soon.